무식히 여신과 칙닥 I can't sleep 온몸이 따따라 스부 jumping to my car 숲이 너나 까마른 not a fire 가슴 때유라 so special my bed is what a fire 아이즈와 kick
ゃ一人なくなってしまうよ。辛くもない甘くもない肌に知ってしまうのに怪物を。
This is the intro of the show, where I usually go through this pained explanation of what the show is about. It's pretty self-explanatory, really. I don't know why. You know, you get into like a mental loop sometimes. I do anyway. Something happens to me. try not to do it. It's happening right now. Yeah, it's I'm stuck in it right now. It's going. I'm swerving. It's trying to get back on track. We can do this. We can do it. Going to do it. Top of the show. Gojira. Torty. Name Amuro. Full Moon. Chibomato. Blue Train. From Stereotype A. Tonight. Is it tonight? It's not tonight. It's maybe tomorrow night is the full moon. It's not a blue moon. It's a super snow moon. So, in honor of the super snow moon, I wasn't gonna wait for a blue moon to play the song Blue Train. I just felt like playing it. In honor of the snow moon, you heard two songs that are definitely not about cocaine. Capsule with White as Snow from 2015, Wave Runner. Twinkle Snow, Powdery Snow, 2008 from Perfume's Game, both by Nakata Yasutaka. And in between that, you heard Eastern Front with Blood on Snow. And that was actually about World War II. I think all their songs are about World War II and the war, specifically Germany versus Russia. I guess every song they write their entire career is about that. It's from 2009, I guess. Got that from the Necrolust compilation. Necrolust Volume 1. It was put out by Metal Hammer Records and Subterranean Records. Or not Metal Hammer. Metal Hammer Magazine. I got it in free with Metal Hammer Magazine, but I guess Subterranean Magazine also had something to do with that. And the reason I was listening to that, I just had that filed away, and I figured, oh, I have all the records. I heard it. I got the records that I liked from that. Just a little sampler label compilation. Probably had my first listen of Behemoth's of Fire and the Void. That was very impressive at the time, and it still is. But I forgot about it, and I put it on my Tumblr, my records Tumblr. I posted it on there, and recently the Tumblr contacted me and told me to delete that post because it featured cartoon cleavage, and that was not acceptable. So that's really stupid and unfortunate, but it did get me to listen to the record again. It did get me to pull it out. I was like, is this worth fighting? Is it worth fighting for Necrolust Volume 1? And I don't know, maybe it is. Maybe I'll repost it. See if they take it down again. It's completely arbitrary. There are new rules. It's some kind of AI guided thing. I don't know. I'm not going to talk about that right now. After all that, you heard Judas Priest. New Judas Priest from last year. Guardians, two songs. Guardians and Rising from Ruins. Pretty great album. One of those things is like, oh yeah, Judas Priest is still around. Pretty good. Pat on the back for Judas Priest for still being alive. But it's much better than that. It's a great album. It's top shelf Judas Priest. So, you probably already have that record. I'm late on that. I'm totally late on this. I'm telling you about something that came out last year. If you care about Judas Priest, you already have that record. But I think the reason it sounds so good, I was just looking at the waveforms and the music editing software that I use, which is Adobe Audition 1.5, if you're curious. I don't even fuck with the later versions. 1.5. You have to ignore a warning from Windows that you're running a very old program, but it still works. But anyway, the Yeah, the waveform is not completely bricked out. It's not completely going all the way to the edge. Like, for example, that song White as Snow. It starts at 10 and it goes to 20. It's totally ridiculous. It's just completely, the whole thing is just completely filled up. Yeah, so that sounds, it's not always a good idea. I guess it works for electronic music. But when there's different instruments that have to be heard, you don't want to actually go all the way to the limit. I did that with a Smashing Pumpkins song a few episodes ago. I had to turn it up a little because it was not competing with the electronic music. I had to turn up this very loud heavy metal song. I had to turn it up. And it got a little muddy. It didn't. There's not a lot of clarity in the lead guitars. It loses the clarity of the lead guitars. They don't cut through the wall of noise from all the rest of the background. I don't know. Something to think about. Tamura Band after that, featuring the band Snuff, with Focus from Itaina, 2012. I believe there's a few collaborations with Tamura Band and this band Snuff. The British band, British punk band. Last episode, I did a little, I guess, Devil's Advocate with the music of Pantera. And then I went a step further and, I guess, what is the opposite of Devil's Advocate? You'd be like, Devil's Advocate would be arguing in favor of something you disagree with, and then I did the opposite. I argued against something I do agree with, which is punk music. I'm not trying to argue against listening to punk music. I don't know. Listen to whatever. After that, another new thing, another new song, Zekai Kujira. Beautiful scenery whale. That's what that means. The song was called Kaibutsu, which means monster. And that's from a little EP. A little out of breath. It's like I just ran down. I just ran into the studio here in the realm of Eternal Midnight. It's not as noisy as recording outside, but it's still some stuff going on. I get out of breath. It's a big realm. You gotta run sometimes into someplace a little quieter. Up next, Shona Knife.
Demonstration being only one tool in effective salesmanship.
Yeah. Preconceived notions of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable in the realm of rock music.
成就，我们大声唱，拼命的唱出。 person, boy. My first love story. My angel. And my girls. My sunshine.
Shona Knife introducing Pig Face. The song Fuck It Up. And I have that on the 2011 compilation Reaching to the Perverted. Pig Face was the drummers from the live Ministry band, Martin Atkins and Bill Reefkin, and a revolving cast of pretty much everyone in the 90s music scene. If you play like a Six Degrees of Kevin Bacon sort of, Martin Atkins is the Kevin Bacon of music. You actually don't have, you probably almost, you have to search to really get to Six Degrees to find someone who isn't connected to someone, at least, who was in Pig Face. Interesting fact. I guess I'm partial to Martin Atkins, because he wrote that book. He's got two books now, Tour Smart and Band Smart. I suppose Band Smart would be more relevant to me, since I don't go on tour at all, ever. But still, it's a good book. Morning Musume after that. Or really, it's just, that song is really just Junjun and Linlin, the two Chinese members that were in the group. Briefly. That was a really good version of that group, when they had the two. I like when people get along. I thought that was a good idea, but it didn't last very long. But that was the version from the 2010 stupid name for an album. Pretty good album. I think next to last, it's the penultimate good albums. Was 12 good? Maybe 12. Part of 12 was good. I think Ai Takahashi left during the making of 12. So I would go on a limb and say that half of 12 is good. That's when the members, after Junjun and Linlin, what is that? That's the ninth generation? That's not, what was that? I don't know. Lost track of that a little bit. But the name of the song, Ame no furanai hoshi de wa aisanai doro, which means, if it doesn't rain, will the stars not love? That's the version that I got from, it's a translation from Project Hello, projecthello.com. I don't have anything better than that, so I'm going to have to go with that. And I don't know if the Chinese version, how much that preserves the lyrics. I think maybe there's multiple versions of that song. I think the 2009 version, which was on the previous album, Platinum 9, is maybe better musically. It's when they sing the chorus as the group in Japanese, and then Linlin takes a solo in Chinese. Because they thought it was a good idea. I don't know. That's the sort of ballad like I don't really tolerate in any other context except for outside of J-pop. I don't really go for that kind of sappy thing. But the magic man that is Tsunku just writes just the way he does it is tolerable, at least, if not good. Some of his stuff is a little bit. He doesn't knock it out of the park every time, but that was a pretty good one. Although, check out the other version. And then Dream Morning Musume did it. I don't know why they did it. I guess it's a good song. They did it. But there's not a Chinese verse, I don't think. I gotta listen to that again, I guess. Hey, whatever. And then SNSD. Girls' Generation, although I guess that's the Japanese version from the 2011 self-titled album. It was on Universal. Nuyata Wave? What was the name of that record? The name of the record label. Doesn't matter. I guess that would be, what were they, JSJD in Japanese? Josei Jidai? Whatever, doesn't matter. And that was the song G, of course, which celebrates its 10th anniversary this year. The original release. And I did make fun of other Japanese or J-pop podcasts when they started covering K-pop during that initial Hallyu wave. They started playing K-pop in Korean on the J-pop show, which I thought was ridiculous. It's kind of like playing. It would be like playing American pop that is charting. It's charting, whatever is charting on the Oricon charts. Is that fodder for your J-pop podcast? Probably shouldn't be. On this podcast, though, if it was released in Japan and it's in Japanese, It's enough J-pop for me. And it annoys any nationalists out there. We want to get under their skin whenever possible. So that's the show for today. What else did I? Oh, I wanted to do this episode. I wanted to do something about, because I said something about accents last episode, and I wanted to do that because Anna Tsuchiya. I said Anna Tsuchiya has an accent because, but she doesn't really, and I'm gonna have to, because she had an American father, so she knows English. We're gonna have to come back to that next episode. I'm gonna say, for the record, she can speak English without an accent. But I looked for an example of her speaking English, actual conversational English. I can't find a video of that. She actually gave an interview to CNN a few years ago, when that album came out. Actually, it was 10 years ago. Okay, that was a while ago. What's she doing now? I think she had a kid, and she's not doing music anymore or movies. We'll come back to her next time. But she did an interview with CNN through an interpreter. She did not try to speak English. So I'm gonna say she can't really speak at a high level, but she can say words without an accent. We're gonna come back to that. If you want to hear someone who does have an accent, you can listen to Nami Amuro at the top of the show, because half that song, Full Moon, is in English, but you might not be able to tell unless you listen very closely and perhaps read along with the lyrics. So, I think that's the show for today. I don't know if I should say believe in rock and roll anymore, because people seem to think I'm on the side of, seems like a partisan thing, that I'm on the side of music with guitars over. That's not really the point of the thing. It comes from a movie called Wild Zero. It actually is a movie that exists. You should watch it. Don't just like if something is a reference, you should probably check out the original version of that to actually get the context of what we're talking about. Rock and roll isn't even about guitars. The first rock and roll was made with a piano and an acoustic stand-up bass. That's the first rock and roll. Doesn't matter. They ditched that pretty early on. Ditched that, didn't even look back very much. But yeah, the instruments don't matter. It's not even, yeah, it doesn't matter. People are dumb. So that's it, people are dumb. That's what I have to end with. I had something else though. I had something else to end with. Thank you for not suing me so far. Arigato.